Hey, everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me is nobody. Not Melissa, not Steven. This one is just me. Me and my sweet, sweet little daughter, Claire, that just came out of a room and her hair smells like whipped cream because her brother pranked her earlier today. It went about as well as you would expect a prank of a six-year-old getting whipped cream in her face to go, but she is adorable and she's snuggling her little blankie and mama's going to take her back to bed. But alas, this is not that. This is no longer April Fool's Day. You're listening to this on April 2nd and we have an amazing episode for you. Thank you so much for Backseaters for coming back. And if this is your first time, thank you. Oh my gosh. I am so flattered. This is our first date and I get so nervous on first dates and it's not an in-person date, but you know what? No dates are in person right now. Speaking of which, our guest today is Annie F. Downs. Oh, so great to have Annie back on the podcast. If you don't know Annie, Annie is a speaker and an author and an overall quality human that I enjoy and adore. I enjoy spending time with Annie. I enjoy getting to talk to her. I enjoy being on her podcast, and I enjoy when she is on our podcast. Annie was in early quarantine. We even say she was a quarantine hipster. She got quarantined back when people were making fun of her for doing it. So we have a conversation about that. We have a conversation about what her life looks like right now and how things are going and, you know, some of the things that we miss. But we also, we hadn't talked in a while, so we meander in a few different directions and, we talk about kind of what we think might happen, but again, it's not all quarantine talk. There's a lot of just life and relationship talk and other good things in there. And if you want to give her a follow on social media, you can give her a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Annie F. Downs. That's her on Twitter and Instagram. And she has a podcast called That Sounds Fun. And she, like Don't Make Me Come Back There, is putting out a lot of content right now, a lot of episodes. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I really do. We're just going to do a quick little intro today. I want to let you guys know about a couple things. One, moving forward, we're doing two a week. You guys tuned into the Corona Chronicles. We thank you for it. We did 10 straight weekdays, you know, and then this week we did three episodes, Monday with Mel, and then we had the Tuesday one with Charlie. Moving forward, we're going to do another Monday with Mel. Monday with Mel is going to be a weekly installment, and then on Wednesdays, Monday, I know, you're like, Dustin, just could you stay consistent? Well, you know what? The world is upside down right now. Give me a little bit of grace. Thank you. The Mondays with Mel, and on then Wednesdays, we're going to do episodes with guests. We have a couple in the can that we recorded before all this went down, but I've been taking, you know, your requests for who you would like to have on the podcast. You know, it's going to be a lot of return guests, or it's going to be people that I already know because, you know, Zoom is great. I like it. It's an amazing piece of technology, but it's a little clunky for me to get to know somebody. So some of you guys throwing out some great guest ideas are absolutely people that we would love to have down the road. I just don't have them right now. We're going to wait till I can chat with them in person. So keep sending those suggestions of people that you'd like to have on the podcast that you know that I know or former front seaters. You can shoot an email at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. You could probably DM me, but you know, I get a lot of DMs, so it's hard to keep track of all those things. So yeah, okay, so that's going to be on Wednesdays, and then Mondays are going to be the ones just with Melissa and I chatting, and hopefully, you know, the intros for these episodes, moving forward, we'll have Steven on there too. Steven and I'll zoom in, and we'll do it, because, you know, we got to, this podcast, it just needs itself some Mr. English comedy, so appreciate you guys tuning in. Also want to say a special thanks to our patrons. If you are a patron, then today, April 2nd, if it hasn't already been posted, you can have the full video from this episode. Not even just the edited part, from the time that Annie and I got on the phone till the time at the end where I said we're going to turn this off because I don't want everybody to hear this part. You know, we were just talking as friends at that point. So, you know, if you want to, we have tons of great content on our Patreon where you can get extra content from our previous guests, like Taylor Tomlinson. We did one with Steven where we do a segment called Five Questions or 10 Minutes. minutes, whatever comes first, where we ask some bonus questions that go only to our patrons. Also, just posted yesterday this month's interview review. Always sounds like I'm saying that one in slow motion. Interview review. where I go back and review an episode and talk about my prep for that and how I thought it went. And I don't always, like I said on this most, I don't listen to the episodes. You know, I do them. I experience them. I live them in the moment. And then I put them out and I go back and listen to it and kind of enjoy and give you guys some commentary. It's like the DVD director commentary is what it is. So I just posted that one. If you're at the 25 or up, I forget the name. I think that one's, what is that one called, Melissa? What's the second to highest one called? Middle backseat driver. That one, you get that one. Anyways, go down to Patreon or go check out patreon.com/don't make me come back there. All of our patrons will get the full video of this episode and all the full video of all the Zoom calls that I do. So if you are on our Patreon, you can see the video. If some people, you know, we got a lot of extra downtime, and if you want to watch, you want to see our faces, I believe this one starts with the actual first clip of this is Annie putting on some lip gloss, lipstick. I can't say. Melissa, what's the difference between if she had the little... The tube is like the old school, you know, like, yeah. There was a wand, yeah. It also made bubbles. What was that? It's really great. Annie is multi-talented.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not serious. She didn't have lip gloss that made... I hope you guys are hanging in there. I went to the grocery store today. That's actually not... partially true. I went to 3 grocery stores today in search of Clorox wipes. I went to 3 grocery stores and came home with 1 thing of Clorox wipes. So my house is sanitized enough. We're doing our best. But thank you guys so much for tuning into this podcast. It really means the world to me, especially right now, where we're putting out more content because we're happy to entertain you guys. We're happy to be a maybe a bit of a distraction or a painkiller for you in whatever ways we can. Happy to put out as much content as we can. So thank you guys so much and enjoy this episode with Annie Downs. Thanks, guys.
As you're putting lipstick.
Yeah, I'm great with that.
Good. Annie Downs.
Hi, bud.
As you're known on this podcast, Annie Effin Downs.
I'll take it. Can I real quick show you how fancy my podcast studio is here in quarantine?
Yes.
It is a blanket nailed to a wall. So, that's what we're working with here in Downs Books Incorporated.
That is more than mine. All I did was just tilt my screen because I'm just in my bedroom. So I tilted it to a wall that showed some hats and
cool setup.
I didn't even tilt the desk. I just moved me.
I know. I keep thinking I'll draw something right here for all these things.
That's a nice
spot. Hadn't happened yet.
You look good. How are you?
Thanks, pal. I'm doing all right. I mean, I don't know when this releases, but I'm on day 19 of my quarantine.
It's coming up tomorrow, actually.
So. Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm on day 19 of this situation because I was exposed really early. Like one of my friends was one of the first 10 cases in our county. Right. And so I was quarantined for quarantine was cool. And it was brutal. It's way better now. Honestly, it's so much better when everybody's in it together than when I was the only one, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you were doing it when people thought you were weird for doing it.
Yes, and everybody thought I was like just being that socially responsible. And I was like, no, literally, the health department calls me twice a day. Like, I'm not allowed to leave my house. It was awful.
Crazy. That is insane.
It was brutal, man. So that was harder because that felt significantly more isolating because everybody in Nashville was still rolling together and hanging, except for me.
Yeah.
And our, like, little crew that all got quarantined because of the same event because we were watching the Bachelor finale together. Yep.
Oh, speaking of diseases.
Right. Speaking of catching stuff you wish you hadn't caught. That is that. And so, but you know, now that it's kind of like, now that our whole city and just like y'all, now that we're in stay at home or shelter in place, whatever your county calls it.
Right.
It is just it's a little bit better, honestly, because everyone's experiencing the same thing. I just have a 2-week advantage on everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. We should be looking to you for leadership.
Yo, but the day that came down when I was 2 days from getting out and the county closed, I had to get under a weighted blanket for about 25 minutes because I was like, I'm sorry. Are you telling me that when I get out in 2 days, I don't get out?
No.
Like, of course, and we saw it coming because it was happening everywhere else. But, oh, Dustin, I legit had to get under a weighted blanket and just have a minute.
Man, that's brutal. Therapy and isolation is a weighted blanket. That's the best you can get.
Yeah, because I ain't touched a person in 19 days. I mean, I've had one hug in that amount of time. And right when I got out of quarantine, I drove to a friend's house who had also been in quarantine, and we hugged just so we could have physical contact. So
when we start going back to our real life, you're going to start taking middle seats on purpose.
Oh, listen, I'm going to be sitting on people's laps. I mean, I'm just going to, yeah, people are going to be like, Annie touches me so much, I don't like it. And I'll be like, I'm sorry, you left me in my house by myself, no pause allowed for however long, a month and a half.
Yeah. Do you have, so you're totally by yourself at your house?
Yeah.
No, do you have any animals?
No.
No.
So it is literally me, 23 hours a day by myself. I walk outside, I go exercise outside once a day for an hour. And other than that, I'm in here by myself.
Oh man. I
went and saw a friend yesterday and did some social distancing. I went and played soccer with some kids on Sunday.
Okay.
But I'm seeing people every now and again, but
yeah, I was texting a friend in Nashville there and was talking about what their options were. And I was like, oh man, I just want to go outdoors and like play golf or something. And he's like, yeah, golfing is still allowed here. It's just like, you know, it's all the new rules.
Yeah.
Like there's no cart. You can't share a cart with somebody.
Right. You got to carry your bag. Right. No, I think everybody's carrying.
Oh, geez. What are we, peasants? Carry our own golf bags? Are you kidding
me? What is this, 1912? Did we revert 100 years because of this?
The cure cannot be worse than the disease.
Tell me, right? Well, I'll tell you what. The people that are getting sick here are getting real sick. It is not fun.
Yeah.
You do not. It is not just about keeping old people from dying. Nasty disease.
I don't know if I want to have to carry my own golf bag.
Right. I'll just quit golf. Luckily, I didn't pick it up, so I can quit it pretty easy. Tell me the story about eggs there. Y'all can't get eggs?
It depends where you are. There is an egg shortage in a lot of places. I did that video and I made that comment of just like, and some people are like, what are you talking about? You don't have eggs.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in the comments were like, no, that's true here. That's true here. That's true.
Yeah.
Here. It is interesting where you just like, you start to see where people's like priorities are and you start to see where people are being like, the toilet paper one is so irrational. But once you realize, like you hear people saying you might run out of toilet paper, you go, well, I don't want to run out of toilet paper.
Right, right. That doesn't sound great, but like, did you see Natalie Maines from Dixie Chicks? Did you see her video about toilet paper?
Mm-mm.
It looks like it's going to be a cooking video, and she puts a pan on the stove and she says, now put a little extra virgin olive oil in it, warm it up. And then she puts toilet paper in it and starts moving around. She's like, oh wait, you can't eat this? This can't keep you alive? Then why are we hoarding it? What are you? I was like, that's funny. You just barbecued toilet paper to make a point. I respect it.
I was gonna say, and you probably got people mad that she did
for
that.
For sure. Man.
Eggs are one of the things here that our grocery stores have the limits on.
Okay.
Like when you go to the grocery stores, it's like tissues, Clorox wipes. Not that you can find wipes anywhere. Those are gone. The wipes are all gone. But then you can have in eggs and like a couple other things. But I don't know why it was. We don't have a lot of farms nearby. That could be part of it. So I lost you for a second. I get to look at your headshot for a while instead. There you are.
There I am. Sorry. Eggs is one thing. And then what else?
Toilet paper, tissues, yeast. Yeast is like people are baking. Like
baking like crazy.
Yeah, which still – it doesn't sound fun to me. There's a lot of different, there's a lot of other activities that I would choose before baking.
Like, well, the thing with baking is it's a time suck.
Right.
And everybody is investing in time sucks. Anything that'll take you a lot, big puzzles, knitting, sourdough, exercise, anything that when I was the only one quarantined, I'm not kidding you, Dustin, I was working out twice a day purely to get the time to go by. No, I wasn't trying. I was just like, well, this video lasts 30 minutes. That's great. That's 30 minutes. I don't have to like be alone in my thoughts.
Well, I'm glad to eat up some time for you here.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. That's very kind of you.
That's what about like sleep? Is it easy for you to get up in the morning, or are you just like, let's just keep sleeping? Why? Because so, what are you getting? I mean, you have stuff to do, but not.
Well, here's the thing is that there's a couple of things that's true about me. One of them is I'm an Enneagram 7 who can spiral into obsessive behavior very quickly. As far as like, I can be a glutton about anything at any point given the right chance.
Yeah.
And so, and I've been me for a long time. I've been me for almost 40 years. I know that I need pretty high boundaries. And so I make myself get up every day. I record a podcast with my buddy Eddie every morning at 7:30.
Yeah, you're putting him out daily. That's great.
Yeah. It's been a real trip. It's only half an hour and we don't edit it at all. If we say something wrong, we just go, you know what? Can I say that again and be the person I wish I was? And then say the thing that we wish we'd have said. And we just don't edit it at all. But so that starts my day at 7:30. And so I get up and I get ready every day. But part of it, I mean, honestly, it's the true, Dustin, I know we're joking around here, but the true is this is incredibly hard and sad and no one knows how to do this.
Right.
The thing I know about Annie is that if I don't have a normal schedule, I could let this month go by and not get a piece of work done and not benefit the planet at all. And I don't want this to be a month where I take and don't give.
Right.
And so I want to create while I'm being given space to create. And the only way I can do that. So my bookends every day at 7:30 in the morning, I record an audio podcast. At 6 p.m. I read a kid's book on Instagram Live, and that's my day. And I work in the middle. So I'm actually working far more than I ever work because I have those two bookends. But it also, I also feel like I'm me. I feel like a good version of me. And that mattered to me to build in pretty early. It mattered to me to build in some boundaries that would keep me from just like literally staying in bed all day or eating everything or drinking everything or watching everything. I have the capacity to do all that.
Right. Right. I love it. Yeah. I think that that's what I was happy to have you on because you are ahead of the curve in that sense. You know,
right.
I think that the first like few days of this are like fantasy, not fantasy in a good way.
Snow days kind of fantasy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it, you know, snow day is a good comparison because every kid is over the snow day by like day three. They're
right.
Like, man, school wasn't so bad.
Yeah. Grown-ups too, right? We go like, oh, let's eat everything in our house. Oh, I don't want to still eat at home, or I don't want to, you know, like, wait, I have to like get on a Zoom call. This is a great one, but I like our whole company has to get on a Zoom call every morning at 9.
Oh, brutal.
Brutal. Let's just go to work.
Yeah. There are, it is so funny because there are certain things you're like, oh man, you know what I miss is going to the movies or going to a concert or a comedy show. And there are other things like, you know what was great? Just a meeting at a table.
Yeah, right. I mean, I miss the movies. I was sitting with a buddy on a porch the other night on very opposite ends of the porch. And we go to the movies all the time. And I just said to him, what would you give if we could just go to the movies right now? And he was like, oh, that's all I want to do is go to the movies. I mean, stuff like that, that has always been so optional to us. Yeah. Feels like such a luxury.
Yeah. Any movie. You don't even have to put a movie on. I just want to go to
it. Just make me a Coke Icy and let me sit there. Let me just sit near someone else that I could maybe accidentally bump elbows with shoulders. We can bump elbows. Let me bump hands. Let me bump actual exposed skin to skin on accident. Please. The world used to be that way.
You can just run the pre-movie trivia for me. That's all. Yeah.
And just then, show me that hamburger and hot dog and Coke dancing and tell me to turn my phone off.
The one dentist who decided it'd be a good idea to buy an ad pre-movie.
Listen, can we talk about how at Regal Theaters, you may have to bleep that out if we can't call them out like that.
We don't have
Regal, I love you. But how they have a like, want to join the cast, want a future in movies? Start here. You're like, start here in Nashville, Tennessee, in the 100 Oaks neighborhood at Regal there. 27. You're going to start your movie career? No, you're not. You're not. You're going to be sweeping up popcorn.
All the big stars came through here. All of them. All.
Start your career in movies here. Be a cast member. You're like, no.
Mm-mm. I mean, I started, my first job was at a movie theater, and so maybe they're just using me as a case study.
That's what it is. It's you. You've led everyone to believe that you could get here. You could have that many hats if you will work at...
Yeah.
You can have your own hat collection if you'll work at the movie theater. What did you do at the movie theater?
I was a concessionist, which is, popcorn scooper. You know, it's a high school job. And so I got free movies and I could bring friends to free movies and I got to watch the movies before they came out. That's like the coolest high school job ever.
For sure. Don't gross me out, but tell me what you know that I don't know about concession stand life.
If you saw what the butter looked like before you got it.
Yeah, you wouldn't get it.
It comes in big blocks. It's never refrigerated. It never spends any amount. It's just a big block, hard block that we put on the heater and just melt it. And it's just a block of salt. And I don't even know that.
Is it from a cow? Is it butter?
Who knows? There's no way to know that.
No. There's no ingredient list on this thing. You're just unwrapping it and setting it.
It's as big as mystery as the hot dogs right next to it, honestly.
We can't talk about it. I love hot dogs so much that I have to remove all the information I have from my mind.
You just have to black out and just...
You just have to. We've made a decision. We've made a decision that we will not care about... ballpark hot dogs?
Yeah.
Are we ever going to go to a sporting event again?
Listen, it's funny you say that. The big events are the ones that I'm paying close attention to because my job, the best hope that my job has of coming back is of those things coming back because concerts and sporting events make so much money. Like that those are the priority over the little 50, 75 person shows that I do. I hope they come back selfishly because I want to attend them. But also if we're not allowed to gather in close, parameters anymore, then I'm glad I didn't burn any bridges at the rec center.
Right. I'm the same way. All my speaking gigs are canceled for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to, the Front Porch with the Fitzes, Elise Fitzpatrick and
totally.
Thompson and them. I did theirs the other day and I told them, I was like, oh man, I should have gotten around to writing that book that publishers asked for, I should have gotten to that. And they're like, hey, just FYI, Dustin, it's not our books. It's our speaking engagements. And those got canceled too. So,
yep.
So yeah, I hope so. I don't know. You're ahead of the curve. You're from the future. Are they coming?
That's right. 2 weeks before you guys, I think the events are going to come back. I think we're going to see a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's my, I love baseball. And so I'm sad to, I don't have the intensity to watch a game every day.
Yeah.
I don't watch all 180 they play or whatever they play.
160.
But man, I just love seeing the Braves out there. And so it just is a summer feel. It's just that feel that, the pandemic has ruined a lot of things. And one of them is just our cyclical understanding of our lives.
The season.
When Easter comes, we're supposed to be watching baseball and we're supposed to be dressing like it's warmer than it really is. And it is just kind of messed with all of that.
Yeah. I agree. I miss you baseball tuning. Did you see that?
Oh God,
I got a bit sad. It was not a comedy video.
No, it was so sad. Is baseball your sport too?
I probably more football. But
do you have a baseball team down there?
The Padres do exist. Yeah.
Padres. That's right.
Remember, I'm a misplaced Seattleite though. So if anything, I'm a Mariners fan. I'm sure in my various hat collections here, I have other options here.
Yeah. The rich section of your bedroom over there.
Yes, exactly.
All the hats.
I'm just showing off that we have sunshine back there.
Yeah, that's right. But and that you have windows. Yeah, look at us. We have windows.
I know. Not to flex too big there, but we have that. And I also have some Clorox wipes around here. So
don't say that too loud.
I know. We'll get raided.
That's right.
I went to the grocery store. I got up at, today was my first early morning. Like me and my wife were staying up late and sleeping in, which is my normal schedule anyways.
Totally.
And I got up early today because I was like, okay, we probably should just go get some toilet paper. Like, I'm looking at the rolls. There's six people that live with me, you know, like, or six people in our house. My wife.
Wait, y'all have that many kids? No.
Three kids, and my dad lives with us too, which was part of the reason that we have been so aggressive in quarantining. And, you know, because my dad has diabetes. He doesn't have a spleen. He's almost 70. Like, he is, it's serious stuff, you know? So I like got up, I was like, okay, we burned through the toilet paper pretty quick in this house. And I went and I was like, okay. So I went to a couple stores and bought their minimums that you, or the maximums that you could buy. And I opened my door and I looked and I saw like, you know, four or five things of toilet paper and tissue and Clorox wipe. I was like, I have doubled the value of my car right now.
I am going to drive home so fast.
Yeah. This
is, because I don't want anyone to see what I've done.
This is the most that anybody has ever wanted to steal a Honda.
Yeah. This is as close to a heist as you'll ever be a part of. I'll never get to use that word in my real life, but I'll be like, well, my friend Dustin one time kind of had a heist.
Man, if there was ever a reason that I needed tinted windows and an alarm system, it's right here.
The day was the day.
I felt like I was doing something wrong.
Yeah. I heard a story from a nurse yesterday that someone walked, this is just like bottom of the barrel humans.
Yeah.
Someone in scrubs walked into the hospital that she works at.
Yeah.
And just was walking around all the public hallways like any of us could, truly, but they were in scrubs and took all the hand sanitizer bottles and walked out with all the hand sanitizer from a hospital. You're like, dude, who are you? Like, I mean, I know there are times where you go like, oh man, you know, Jean Valjean stuff, stealing bread for your sister and going to jail. Like,
right.
I think stealing all the hand sanitizer from a hospital is not Jean Valjean.
No.
That's those just a ones, horrible
those,
person.
Those are the ones that you hear that story and you're like, yeah, hell's probably real. Like, I'm not picking and choosing who goes and who doesn't go. I'm just saying probably. Oh, did you hang up on me after that one?
Can you hear me?
Oh, you're back. I got back to your headshot. I thought.
I know. My Wi-Fi, because I live in a condo situation, there's a lot of us in our small area using Zoom.
I get it. I thought that I made any comment on doctrine that you may or may not have been able to endorse, and you hung up on me immediately.
No, tell me what you said, though, because I didn't hear it. The listeners have to hear it twice.
The hell thing?
Oh, the hell part. Yeah, I did hear you say that. Yeah. Okay. I thought you went deeper into doctrine after that. I was like, no, that'd be a dream.
I did Dante's seventh, you know, what is it, seven layers? I'm saying seven layers. Like a dip. No, Dante's seven layers of hell. That'd be a pretty popular item, actually. This is not a seven-layer dip. This is the seven layers of hell dip.
Yeah. You'd have to add spice. That feels like something Aaron Tuning would make. Right? Just to make us watch him eat that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Tell me, I know this is your show, but tell me what your experience is as a comedian, as a person of faith, as a dad, as a son, as a husband. Like, do you wake up making jokes?
Yeah. I mean, yes, there are some around the house. My kids have a childlike understanding of what's happening based on what level they're at. You know, we're definitely lighthearted about it, but not in any trivial, insulting manner. You know, we definitely are spending time in prayer for, you know, cures and, you know, for the first responders. And we've had a family member who got it, you know, praying for them. And, you know, so there's definitely, I think they feel.
Y'all do have a family member who's sick.
Who got it. Recovered now, which is great, you know. But, you know, a lot of my family's in the Seattle area. And that's where Seattle before New York was where it was at the worst, you know.
Yeah. Did your family member lose their sense of smell or taste?
No, it was the breathing. That's where, you know, she was having a hard time breathing. So it was the scare, but they sent her home and, you know, with a little oxygen monitor and just said like, hey, if this hits a certain level, then come in. And the big thing that she had to do actually was she just stopped watching the news because she said it would make her hyperventilate more.
Yep.
That's one of the hard things. And you were kind of getting at it of, you know, the physical and the emotional are so closely intertwined. Yes. And the hysteria around this is, if you think you may have it or you do have it, it's only going to heighten, you know, your panic and, you know, some, yep, symptoms they describe. I'm like, I get those symptoms if I think about this too much. You
know? I left the post office yesterday, got in the car and thought, my throat hurts. My throat hurts. I for sure just caught it in the post office. It's going to start right now. I mean, that's it. I don't know if you know this story about me, but about 2 summers ago, I started having pretty debilitating anxiety attacks. Mm-hmm. And it was my assistant and I would get to an event and I like couldn't let go of the steering wheel. I couldn't breathe. I mean, it was like, I don't want to do this. I mean, it was the weirdest. And I don't usually, that didn't happen to me historically. So I was praying and I was talking to my mentor, my counselor. And finally, my mentor, I think, said, hey, tell me about what you're eating and drinking. Like, is there anything like different? And I was like, da, 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 da. I'm having a chai with a shot of espresso. Oh my gosh. I'm drinking caffeine because I don't drink coffee.
Oh.
And every day I was having shots of espresso first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And so what it was doing, now all the stuff was very real, but what it was doing was what you were saying is my heart would start racing because I was shooting caffeine into a body that does not drink caffeine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it would cause my mind to race and they would compete with each other. Mm-hmm. And so once I stopped the caffeine, the thoughts were still there, but it gave me, okay, now I can at least deal with this without my body freaking out.
Yeah, you were on drugs, Annie.
Literally. I was on an Annie level drug, which is the highest level any of y'all want me on anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
I couldn't let go of a steering wheel because I had one shot a day.
Yeah, I don't think, knowing what I know about you, I would never recommend caffeine under
right? any. Right? You know me pretty well. It's not the right decision. No. I just thought it was like a cute little addition to my chai in the mornings from Starbucks. Nope. That's kind of what it was. I was like, dirty chai. Yeah. Having no idea I was poisoning myself.
Dirty. I'm being bad.
I'm so metropolitan. Like, I'm just such a city gal. Can I get a dirty chai? It was so stupid. But the same thing happens with this. I think we had, when the 7 of us got quarantined at the same time because of Pete the Pilot having a 2-night finale. When the 7 of us got quarantined together, one of the girls obviously was really sick, but none of us got sick. But there were 2 others that were like, do you guys think, can you hear, do I sound different?
Yeah.
My fever's up by point. Yeah, it was like that. And we're all like, I mean, finally the girl who was sick said into Marco Polo, hey, I think it's all in your head.
Yeah.
And we're all like, oh, I mean, I know you've been alone for a while, but probably don't like jump straight to there, but okay.
It's a little insulting.
That's right. It's a little forward.
I wanted to ask you this as, you know, as a, I don't know what to call us, but you and I, we put a lot of content out into the world and you more so than me. People come to me for jokes, you know, but people come to you for perspective.
Yeah. Which I actually think is a little disservice you do to yourself, but I appreciate it because people don't get to know the depths of your theological smarts and your wisdom. But I respect that you've set your course and you're going for it, but
well,
the world deserves to hear a little bit more of your wisdom.
I'll be on your podcast anytime, Annie.
Okay, good. Again, you've been on.
Yeah. That was funny you say that. I was listening. We do, for our Patreons, we do a thing called like interview reviews where I go back and like listen to the episodes and talk about them. And people wanted me to do one I had Andrew Stanley on. And
yeah.
I went back and listened to Andrew's. And at the end, I kind of went on this like 10 to 15 minute rant on like the women in ministry debate.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I was like, I was like almost cringing as I went back and I was like, Andrew barely said anything. I was like, I'm getting worked up. This is why I stay out of this.
This is why I make jokes.
Yeah, that's why I do a Beth Moore tweet and then walk away.
Oh, that thing went so big, didn't it?
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
People loved it. I cried laughing. I was so proud of you for doing that.
Thank you. My general stance on things is, if anybody takes themselves too seriously, that's who I'm against. Like that's for me. And that debate, that it is very, there's smart people on both sides.
Yeah.
One side is way too serious about it.
Yes.
And I will make fun of them all day long.
That's right. That's right.
And it just
believe what you want to believe. Just like maybe also go to the beach sometimes. Like maybe relax.
Sometimes.
Relax.
Yeah. You should have seen the responses that my wife said, don't post that. They were
really? People were nasty?
There was one guy that like got real, like, I can't, this is such a da 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 da, you know, he was attacking me. And I had almost hit send, and I was like, oh, I'm going to ask my wife, and because I had like done the retweet, and I was about to say, I would ask your wife's opinion, but I assume she's not allowed to speak in public. And Melissa was like, yeah, that's not for, no, that's not, you can say that to me, you can say that to Anna, you can say that on your podcast.
That's right, that's right, that's right. See, I've another reason I need to add to my list of reasons the Lord needs to bring me the right dude is I need someone to run filtery things by.
Yeah.
Because I have the things. The other day, I read that kid's book at 6 o'clock. And I mean, it is, I just pick books, I read them, and then I hang up. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not, doesn't make me any money. It's not sponsored, nothing.
Yeah.
And an adult said in the comments, it'd be a lot easier if the words weren't backwards. And I was like, Sorry. What? How much was your subscription? Nothing. This is free for you. You want me to get my tea? Oh, I'm the only one allowed in my house. Oh, okay. I mean, I just said, yeah, I know it's a one man show. And I just kept reading. And I was like, I want to like Sonic spin in a circle and shoot off.
That extra filter. That's a nice response. My general is a no response because I'm like, I think it'll drive them crazier if I don't respond.
Yes.
You know, but it's just, there's absolutely, what's the old quote about, you know, wrestling with pigs? Like you both are dirty, but the pig likes
it. That's right. Do you know a friend of mine? So someone in my neighborhood said something unkind about me being quarantined very early. And they said it publicly on their social media, but they didn't tag me. They just were talking about me. And our town is pretty small.
Right.
And it got screenshot and got sent back to me. And all my friend said is, don't say anything. Just follow her.
Yes.
Just follow her and just hit the follow button and let her worry for all her days.
It's so much
better. Know that
it's
you know.
So yeah. Oh, God.
Don't DM her. Don't respond. Just be like, I'm right here.
Just know that you, absolutely.
Yes. It was good. Sometimes saying nothing is the cruelest thing.
Oh, it drives them insane. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, that's right. We started because you had a question here, and I interrupted by telling people that you're smart.
No. Wait, you and I haven't chatted in a while, so
I'm know.
Happy to do so. And the real, once we...
I cried a lot last time we were in the same place.
I know.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We had a lot of things we had to talk about that day.
I think the time before that, you cried laughing. After our fateful dinner. So, and then every once in a while, if I haven't performed in a while, I'll put on a little show for a private party.
Yes. Which I'm grateful to be a part of every now and again.
Jenna received that. Or something will happen that is so outrageous, but I'll never get to talk about it except with the group of people that I'm with.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, okay, I'm going to just, let's deal
with it. We've had that multiple times at this point of, we need to talk about something because this is outrageous.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to ask is, it's actually along the similar lines of, you know, you're putting out so much content is, you know, one thing that I'm wrestling with is it feels like this is the only thing we're talking about and the responsibility to talk about that. And I wonder how much people want to keep hearing about it. Oh, sirens. versus, are we supposed to talk about other things? Or does it even feel, or is this just so overwhelming that it's hard to talk about? Almost like this conversation. You notice how we kind of keep going in and out of it?
Yes.
We talk about this, but it's kind of like a shadow that casts over it. Does that make sense what I'm asking?
Yes. And I think it's a shadow all the time.
Yeah.
I think if it was... if it was something anyone had ever experienced, we could push it away or go like, it's raining so much this month.
Right.
Other things to discuss or even a war of some sort. We have, you and I were alive during Desert Storm and we've experienced war before. Mm-hmm. I think because this is a thing that literally no one has ever done today. in this situation. Mm-hmm. And in fact, our county where I grew up, my girlfriends from home were just texting right before we got on that the governor of Georgia canceled school for the rest of the year.
Yes.
Like, what, no one knows what to do with that. Right. So how do we talk about anything else when it's all anyone's thinking about? And that being said, I'm still recording podcasts like you are with people who are releasing books and people who are releasing albums and people who have important things to say. And next week is Holy Week. Next week is Easter. Next week is Good Friday. Next week deserves different attention. Mm-hmm. So the thing I'll be interested to watch is when we get done with Holy Week and this becomes our life for a couple more weeks.
Right.
How does our language change around it? Mm. Here's a thing that you and I can talk about publicly or privately, but how does dating life change for those of us that are single? Right. Like I'm having to maneuver that as a woman who doesn't have a husband.
As a Christian, you shouldn't have been touching him anyways. Annie,
I wish we could really talk about this so much. I wish we could really talk about this. Need you to know that it's been, I just need you to know.
In about 10 minutes, I'll hit stop record and that'll be.
I mean, but how many, for start, so here's the spectrum. There are married people who have 4 kids at home that are going like, how do we survive this?
Yeah.
There are my friends who are young marrieds who are literally having the time of their lives.
Right.
Like they're fine. Yeah. It's the two of them and their dog and they have enough space in their house to have distance from each other and they aren't ready to have kids and they like being together. Yeah. So there's all sorts of the relational distance between those two things. And then the relational distance between those young marrieds and single people who aren't dating anyone and are concerned, am I losing 2 months of meeting people?
Right.
And there are people in faith and outside of faith who are being forced into celibacy that wouldn't be choosing that. Mm. I mean, I saw a very famous celebrity who's not a Christian do a whole spiel on not getting to have sex right now.
Right.
And so you go like, man, there in the dating spectrum, what has this done? In families, what has this done? I mean, we'll have to come up with a new rhythm after Easter. How do we do this?
I mean, it's having an effect on every human relationship there is.
Everyone.
Every friend relationship, every coworker relationship, every spouse, every friend. Like yesterday I was reading about how, you know, the quarantines are kind of being lifted in China and there's massive divorce rates happening.
Yes.
Which is both funny and sad to me. Like, funny in the sense that if people are like, listen, I liked you when I left for 8 hours a day.
Is it Chris Rock? Chris Rock has a line about that, about why his dad said the reason he liked his mom so much is he missed her every day.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't talk on the phone all day. Yeah. I just can't. I mean, that's what I want to tell pastors, like, hey, I appreciate y'all doing 3 worship services a day for us right now and trying to keep us connected spiritually. Yeah. Is anybody talking to marriages? Is anybody talking to dating people who are trying to maneuver how to be in a growing relationship where some of it is getting stopped?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a friend who, her and her boyfriend like live like kind of together, like bi-coastal, like, you know, but they'll go out and they'll like stay with each other for a little bit and then they'll be individually apart. And he's like living their quarantine together now. They've only been together like a few months.
Yeah.
And we were talking and she was like, I feel like at the end of this, I'm going to be like, we should have like some common law marriage.
Right. Does 7 years shrink during the quarantine?
I know, that's what I told her. I was like, I have spent more consecutive time with my wife who I love and enjoy. And she's lovely and enjoyable. All the things like I.
Yeah.
And you're just like, we've never in our lives spent this much amount of time together.
Yes.
Thank God I enjoy you. If I didn't, it's what I felt like if you're in the house with somebody, what this is doing is highlighting tensions, you know? So there's tension at times with my wife and my dad and kind of how he behaves around the house. And there's tension with me and my middle school boy, who is just an annoying middle school boy.
Right.
Who doesn't go to middle school anymore.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So it just, it's like a, it's just a little spotlight of like, hey, there's tension there. I'm just going to highlight it. And there's no relief, you know, like, or at least no promise of relief anytime soon. So
that's right. I mean, it's one of the reasons I'm kind of taking April 30th from the president as like, we can do anything till April 30th. Now, do we go farther past that? I don't know. Yeah. But what I know is for my sanity, can I think about this as 1 month?
Right.
Okay. I can do 1 month. I can think about how I can be healthier emotionally, spiritually, physically, and relationally for a month.
Yeah.
After that, somebody better let me out of this cage. You know, because the same thing's happening in relationships besides the people you're living it with, right? Like, it's happening with your families. It's happening with people that you're friendships with. And in my own life, it is highlighting to me that same spotlight is being turned on me because I'm with me all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same, you know, it's the same light. I mean, it's not like it would be with another person, but I'm like, oh, you have a pattern, ma'am.
Yeah.
That you may not have seen because there are always people buzzing in and out of your story.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Is it in your nature to take things like this and search for silver linings, or to be like, or just kind of, or are you more just like hunker down, let's get through this and just do what we have to do? What's kind of your just nature's response to like the, you know, the 10,000 foot view of something like this?
Yeah, I'm a reframer. Let me tell you how this could be really great for us.
Yeah.
That's
what I want to hear. Tell me, Annie, how this could be really great.
Okay. I can tell you because I can tell you that that there is something about this that is not an accident. That's what we know if we're people of faith, is that nothing's an accident and God has control. So we can just, that's baseline. We can believe that. But also there's this part, I mean, and all the people who listen to me and all the people who listen to you don't believe everything that I believe, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But there's this part in the New Testament where Jesus says, we can't put brand new wine in old wineskins, right? We can't take this new thing in our life and this new thing that's going on, whatever it is. This is a truth no matter what you believe, that you can't put something new and good inside something old. It's why when we buy milk, it comes in a new container. We don't bring it home and pour it into the old milk carton because that's gross. Mm-hmm. The thing we didn't realize is we would mourn the losses of the old wineskins. Mm. We didn't know what it would look like to lose the things. But here's the truth is that the new things that are going on in your life and the new things in the forward movement, what we learn in that story is if you put the new things in the old container, you lose both. Mm. The old container can't hold it and it spills the wine. And so what I keep believing from God is, or what I keep believing and what I believe is from God, is that there are new things he's doing. And the only way we would get to keep them is if we lost some of the old wineskins. And that looks like my calendar. And that looks like some of my financial provision. And that looks like relational plans I had. And so for me, I'm going, okay, if you were handing me something new, you had to take away and give me a new wineskin for it. And we don't use that. I know that's a word, but new milk carton, you know, like.
Yeah, no.
Get the new milk carton.
The main sponsor on my podcast is a wine company. So this is right up our alley.
This is right down the line. Yeah. I mean, and the other analogy that has proved really beautiful to me has been springtime in general, is that what we are seeing is that there have been things in the darkness of winter that we did not know were growing that are growing now. And so we just have to choose to believe. I mean, I go outside every day, not because I'm like dying to exercise, because I'm dying for the earth to remind me that the earth is not scared and that the planet is not afraid and that it is just blooming.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There was a comedian friend of mine who made that joke, and he goes like, I know we're all stressing this right now, but the earth, you know, overall is just going, water's clean, air is clean,
right?
Clear. There is, you know, there's it. It's not, to me, it's not. People are going, you know, oh, no, this is opportunity. And other people say, no, this is tragedy. And I go, no, I think it's both.
It's both. We have to hold both. Like, we have to mourn the things we've lost. And I said to someone today, it's not that I have good days or bad days, I have good hours and bad hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like every day I feel both. I feel excitement that this is something we've never experienced. I feel fear because I don't want to get sick and I don't want to lose someone I love. And the math says I will.
Right.
And I don't like what's happening. I want to wake up tomorrow and it just be gone. Because we know that God's a healer and he could do that. So I want to wake up and that be gone. And I don't know that it will be.
Right.
And so I hold all those things all day long.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be, that's a good way of pointing it. I was thinking about like, you know, every day, cause you know, like you and I and so many people are doing 100% of what we can do, you know, we're washing our hands, we're quarantining, we're not wasting resources. We're doing 100% of the things that we're doing. Like, so is that curve flattening yet? No.
Yeah.
No.
Right. I've been doing this for a week. Right. You want them to be like, it matters.
Yeah.
And you want the government to go, look at the difference, America, you've done it for a week. And we're like, we thought we'd be done.
Yeah.
We thought we'd flatten it in 7 days. We're very accomplished people.
Yeah.
And this little bug is no joke. And the crazy thing is, Dustin, when we get a better view of this, when we get to look back on it, there are going to be a lot of things we've learned, but one of them is that literally all you have to do is wash your hands.
Yeah.
We're all
germaphobes now.
It's not measles that floats in the air. It lands, you know, and so it's like, it's not that strong, but it's taken out the world.
I am going to wash my hands. I'm going to cherish my relationships and I am going to stop eating bats. I have a bad bat habit. It is.
We said the other day, someone's like, so-and-so is the worst person ever. And I was like, no. The guy who ate the bat is the worst person ever.
Oh, man.
Some guy decided to eat bat soup. And do you know, I've been to China one time.
Yeah.
And where did I go? Wuhan. It's the only place I've ever been in China. It's beautiful.
Okay. Yeah.
The people are kind. The food's delicious. I did not eat bat.
Gosh.
But I'm like, come on, guy.
Places that have been hit are some of Italy and Spain and China.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, New York. You're like, these are epicenters of culture and the beauty of humanity. And it is.
And when you think about schools being canceled and you think about people trapped at home, I mean, we are the privileged in both of those stories, you know, like, gosh, if we want to get real down on a comedy podcast, the people who are in domestic violence that can't get out now and the kids who don't have food or internet, like the teachers who are doubled over worrying about their kids that they know don't get enough. God is going to have to provide in ways for people that we love that we've never seen because we've been too lucky.
I think you're right that this will be a season that people talk about forever. And one that'll have like, you know, I think that the comparison I've heard most people make is 9/11, and obviously they're very different things, but kind of what you were saying earlier, it's like, well, there's nothing else to talk about. Like, this just happened. How do I just, I can't.
Because I barely remember flying. I mean, I knew I was in college when 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
So I flew before that, but I remember those days thinking the world's never going to be the same, and it isn't.
Yeah.
But I don't remember how it's so different. I know that people could go to the gates at airports.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one of the big ones. And I think you were allowed to have your shoes on. Those were the two big ones.
Right. Like, right.
You and I got clear and pre-check and.
You know, that's right. I have surpassed those worries. So I just got to believe in for sure in a year, but certainly sooner, we will have a new normal that probably should have been a normal all along. We should have washed our hands better all along.
I really like that phrase, and I think I'm going to latch on to it, a new normal. It's not, because a new normal is probably a better normal. I just need to make, as long as the new normal allows people to go be close together in grimy comedy clubs, like that's a big one for me.
Grimy is going to leave, but comedy clubs are going to stay, and your humor is going to stay, and people will gather again to laugh.
Yeah.
And we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. There's this, the one thing, the hope that we can tie ourselves to that isn't spiritual.
Yeah.
There is spiritual hope we can tie ourselves to. But the other hope is there's not a doctor or a professional or anybody with a microphone saying this will never end.
Right.
Everyone is saying there's an end.
Yeah.
And we just don't know when it is.
Yeah. Well, there is an end to this podcast.
People were hoping. They were wondering, is this just going to keep going?
No, people are like, I get emails every once in a while, and they're like, it is funny, but like, friends will be like, hey, man, you're like, it's funny, and then we're talking about, you know, your parents leaving when you were a child, and you're like, yeah, that's right. Well, that's what we're doing here. So
yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do.
Well, I know and I hope that our new normal will bring us together face to face again, hopefully soon.
Me too, pal.
Appreciate you making time for this.
And oh, I think the world of you. I was happy to do it. It gives me a chance to talk to you.
Thank you, Annie F and Downs, live from the future. Thank you for doing this, Annie.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.